Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the I Don't Get It Podcast. It is Ashley and I, but we are just graced by the presence of the real Dale Moss, which is very exciting because I feel like as someone
he's an exclusive guest to get.
This is an exclusive guest to get. I'm so excited to talk to Dale. And Dale and I have actually met. We'll talk about this in a second. But the reason why I think I am so stoked is because even though you have sort of catapulted in like Bachelor Nation and fame and other amazing projects that you've done on your own, you still very much have like this mystery surrounding you, I think. I don't know. Would you say that, Ashley? Like, I feel like there's a lot about you that people don't know, which it would be fun to like uncover today.
I think totally. Cause I feel like you guys really just did interviews right after the show. And then you guys have been really private since. So it's feeling very exclusive to have you on here.
I love the privacy. It's so Beyonce and Jay-Z. But it's also like, it's fun to get to know you in the context of like who you are outside of Bachelor Nation, not like, you know, with
as
Claire. Yeah. Not as a couple. Cause that's how like people know you as, but anyways, so Dale, yeah, we met what, 8 years ago now?
Yeah. I think it was, 8 years ago. I was living in LA at the time, in between teams and training in the off season. It's amazing how time flies, but also it's amazing to see all the things that you've done since first meeting. So it also just things come full circle, right?
I know, it's so wild. We met because like you were living with someone that my roommate was like friends with, sort of like I think hooking up with like once or twice. that's how we met,
yeah,
right?
Someone from my home state in South Dakota. I was playing with Chicago. But I was out in LA in the off seasons, and you know, I fell in love with the LA lifestyle a little bit. Also, like I always wanted to get into film and entertainment. I went to school for video production and digital production. So, big picture, my dream is to eventually direct. I just think that storytellers have, you know, they have a gift and can really change and influence culture in a major way. So that's what brought me out to LA, but I ended up going out to New York for different projects with my agency. And I think New York got me. I've been out there 6 years.
That's wild. I can't believe you've lived in New York 6 years.
Yeah, it's I love it. It's not the end all be all, that's for sure. But right now it's good.
So then what's the end all be all, you think? You feel like you want to live outside of a big city?
I mean, I grew up in South Dakota, so I'm a small town, but I love the city. I think everything, I kind of fall in love with every place I go a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I've grown to love LA a lot more. I know I'll be out there a lot more, in the future for projects. For me though, if I can have a beach and sun, that's the number one thing. So, I could see myself making, my way back West Coast, but I love Florida too. I'm a fan of Florida.
Nice. Well, I'm from Florida. I don't know if you know that. So yeah.
That's a fun fact. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in Boca, but let's talk about where you grew up. Cause you grew up in South Dakota. Like what was it like growing up in South Dakota for you? Are there black people in South Dakota?
I was one of the few actually, until I think my sophomore year in high school, I was the only black kid in my entire school. So
school. That's entire crazy. School.
Yeah. So it wasn't very diverse, but, I always say I love where I grew up. We moved to South Dakota, when I was really, really young. And it's interesting how far we've come, even in the midst of everything in media, just, culturally and, socially, but it was very, very segregated. I mean, for the longest, I remember like I couldn't go sleep at my friends' houses until like third grade. They thought I was like the bad black kid. Or, you know, and I think like a lot of things are just people weren't exposed to different cultures, different religions, different things like that. But sports, and also my older sisters were very instrumental in breaking down a lot of those barriers. And I think it just allowed people to see, not only myself, but my entire family, in a little bit different light. My sister Amber is, she's unbelievable. And she's 5 years older than me. And, she really broke down a lot of barriers. She's, the reason I'm so involved with Special Olympics now. But her spirit and her soul is just beautiful. And then sports, obviously it was a big thing for me. And I think, you know, not only having success with that, but being in a community where everyone really rallied around and supported people, made a huge difference, but it was chill. My town was like 8,000 people, you know, farm community. So it was definitely different. But again, as I got older, sports really brought me to a lot of different areas of the country and the world. So, I got to see a lot outside of the state for sure.
How many kids were in your school?
I had 200. We actually had a decent sized school. I had 200 in my high school at the time.
Wait,
just 200 people?
Just 200. I mean, there's not even a million people in the entire state. There's not even a million people in the entire state of South Dakota. So
wait, you could literally have a wedding with everyone that went to your high school. That's like how many people?
I know. The thing that's so special about it though, I still have the same friends I've had since, kindergarten, first grade, like, my homies, Matt, Ant, like Chris, like we're all still like this. So whenever I go back home, two of my sisters and my dad still lives there. We pick up like, you know, nothing has ever changed. So that's something that's special and most people don't ever get experience.
That's insane.
So can you talk about your family dynamic? Okay. We know you have two sisters. Were your mom and dad together throughout your childhood?
Yeah. My parents were together, for 40 years. My mom passed away in 2017. But she definitely lived the life in full. So, I was very fortunate. We were very fortunate to have, both of our parents in the picture. Early on, my dad wasn't always in the picture. Just life was going through different addictions and things like that. So my mom had to really, you know, really hold it down, but, I think that's also just as kids, we took on a lot of responsibilities at a young age, which has helped us so much later on in life. You know, we just would handle things together, which, you know, I've realized more and more as I've gotten older, how fortunate we were for the family structure. Even, you know, with difficulties, every family goes through it. Mm-hmm. But to really have to rely on each other, we didn't even have an option, but it was never seen as a burden or anything. We just, mm-hmm. stuck together and figured it out. So, four sisters, only boy, three older, one younger, and we're all super tight. And you know, even to this day, you know, everyone's, you know, thriving. I'm very thankful. I was actually talking to Claire about this the other day, mm-hmm. Looking at everything that's happened from the pandemic, you know, to now. And while there were some dark times, you know, we're very fortunate that everyone's, seeing some of the best success in health, wealth, relationships, all the things. So it's definitely a blessing.
Here is something that I was really concerned with when I was really having morning sickness and I could only eat like crap food, which is actually kind of where I'm still at now. I was like, okay, so if I'm only eating cheese and like fried carbs, how's the baby getting enough nutrients? And people were like, as long as you take the prenatal every day, you're good. Like your baby's getting what it needs. And especially with such an amazing prenatal, like modern fertility's prenatals.
So good.
They're so good. They are doctor backed. They like really did a lot of, they had like so many medical advisors to develop a perfect prenatal that stands apart from so many options out there.
And also, if you aren't even pregnant and you want to get your body ready to be pregnant one day, if that's something that you choose or want in your life, I actually have Modern Fertility prenatal multivitamin because it has so many nutrients in it. My favorite part about it is that it comes in this really cool blue reusable bottle, which I thought was just genius and like very environmentally friendly. So they send you a pouch with like new ones and you just use the same bottle for it. And it's like really pretty actually in my vitamin cabinet. It's like the prettiest thing. But also like all my friends that are getting pregnant now, I'm like, hey, I want amazing hair. Like I want all this stuff and all these nutrients that, you know, I want all these nutrients that support your body before, during, and after pregnancy too. And so I'm sort of taking them for the before part. And I just wanted people to know that Modern Fertility is for anyone that wants to take them.
Mm-hmm. And they are, yeah, they're basically like really good multivitamins. They have 12 essential nutrients that are recommended by OBGYNs to support your body during, before, and after pregnancy. These are vegetarian, gluten-free. They have zero preservatives or filler ingredients that you don't need. They also have balanced iron and other nutrient levels to keep your tummy happy, which is, you know, very important when you're not feeling so good a lot. And they infuse every capsule with a hint of citrus to also make it go down easy. So here's how you get them, guys. You can get your prenatal multi subscription and it gets you 60 capsules per month for $30. But right now our listeners can get 30% off their starter kit, including 1 month of capsules and a free glass jar, which Naz was talking about, at modernfertility.com/getit30.
Honestly, just do it for the jar, you guys. Yes, that's modernfertility.com/getit30. So get it 30 for 30% off your Modern Fertility prenatal multivitamin starter kit. Again, you guys are not going to want to miss out on this. That's modernfertility.com/getit30. Get it 30. And honestly, just watch your body react. You're going to love them.
It's crazy, like how when we're like in those moments of darkness, like whether it's a breakup or a parent dies, we like in the moment you just think it's, and it is very much the worst traumatic thing that's like happening to you. You can't get out of it. And then, or even if like you lose a job and then like years or months down the line, you're like, oh, that was the best thing that ever happened to me because blah, 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 this. Do you have... Yeah. Did you have any sort of breakthroughs like that where you're like, oh, I am this way. Thank God this happened. This was the gift that I received from these traumatic experiences that I had.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, growing up, definitely my relationship with my father's changed a lot over the years. So I'm baby Dale, I'm Dale Jr. And my dad is you know, definitely my best friend, just like my mom was.
Dale's such a cool name too.
I like the name Dale.
There aren't a lot of Dales. The only Dale I know is Dale Earnhardt. That's the only Dale in the world.
Every time I introduce myself and to this day, I've had many people, definitely women, laugh at me and say, your name is Dale, and like just laugh in my face. I'm like, I don't think it's that bad of a name.
I think it's you.
They laugh at you. They're like, that's terrible.
I guess I don't look like a Dale. And then they find out I'm from South Dakota, which is a conversation piece. I still have my South Dakota ID to this day, so I always send back to get it. Yeah, I know, it's hilarious. But you know, I think just if we talk about moments, growing up, I think the fact that I was the man of the house at such a young age was very, very important for my development as a man. But also, you know, as I prepare for, you know, life with the family and marriage and things down the road, I understand what it's like to have to be there and be willing to support or sacrifice for the greater good of the family. And we're all like that.
That's so cool.
Definitely. Also when my mom passed, which was a traumatic time, that was one of the hardest times in my life, in our entire family. She was a rock that really held everything together. But looking back at it, I really had to step back and realize that I could not help my family go through the grieving process. I couldn't do anything to help my sisters or my dad, who was with my mother for over 40 years, grieve and have closure. And I had to really take a step back. And this has helped me a lot in life to realize that in certain instances, those are the struggles and those are the battles that people have to go through and figure it out on their own, no matter how much you want to help and really fix those things. And I've carried that over in relationships. I've had to really learn that. Sometimes the best thing you can do and the only thing you can do is just be there and try to love and support someone, mm-hmm. but you can't fix all those problems. And my relationship with my mother is different. It's more spiritual now, but we have, you know, an amazing relationship. And, you know, I got to spend over 28 years of my life with one of the greatest women I could ever imagine. And most people don't get that, you know, and I know that. And it took me a little bit to accept that and have that perspective. But looking back now, it's just, you know, just a different way of viewing things. So that has shaped me a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think for the first time, especially after my mother passed, I really decided to focus on myself fully and my happiness. Obviously I want the people around me to be happy and I want them to be supported. But, at the end of the day, I would give my last breath for her at any moment. And once I knew she was in a better place and at ease, I felt like in my life, I could really fully start focusing, or I did start focusing, on myself, my health and happiness and future.
That's so beautiful. I love the way you phrase it. Cause I think when people lose parents, it's not, we always say I lost a parent, but you don't really lose them. Or I don't believe that. I think your parent dies, but you just have a different relationship with them. Like you said, like spiritually, but that's awesome that you learned all that stuff from your mom. And now you're like focusing on yourself. Let's talk about your own happiness. Like how did you focusing on your own happiness lead you to sort of apply to be on Bachelorette?
Yeah. So I was actually nominated.
Why would I ever think that you submitted yourself?
Whenever I ask this question, it's like, I'm the only person I know who just signed up for themselves.
Literally the experience.
I'm dead.
My experience is so different than most people. The experience is something I wouldn't change for the world.
I think most men get nominated, right? Like, I don't think most men go out of their way to go online to abc.com/casting and like submit a photo. But also if you do, that's incredible. I think that's very amazing.
Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, do what you do, shoot your shot. Right.
Yeah.
I was nominated by, Ty Ty, who's like a little sister to me in New York. And she is always asking me, who are you dating? Who are you seeing? I never see you with anyone. And I will say, especially after transitioning from sports, like sole focus was, it had to be that way, transitioning and moving to New York City. I just had to really build and reframe a life. And I was just focused on me. She nominated me. And I think it was October of 2 years ago now. I got a call from one of the producers. And they asked me if I'd be interested in being on the show. And I called her right after. I was like, they called me. There's no way I'm doing this shit. Like, I can't put all the business out there. And she's like, no, you promised me if they called you, you'd go through the process. So I was like, all right, you have my word. I'll go through the process. And it's a pretty in-depth process, which I know y'all are both aware. And it wasn't until like a week before everyone was actually flying out and leaving for Claire's season that I fully committed to it. I was just very, very weary about not having an idea of who it could be, especially, 32, I'll be 33 in September. I just thought if I was going to lay out and really open up and put it all out there, I wanted to make sure that it was with someone who could handle and really understand. And I was very, very serious and am serious about building a family. That's all I've ever had growing up. And that's all I wanted. And then I think I was just ready for a change too. I feel like so much of my life, I've wanted to control every aspect of things, mm-hmm. or I've had to, or had no option. And this was something where I knew I'd have to fully give up control. Mm-hmm. But I was also very, very on guard, and because I understand how reality TV goes and how things can be portrayed. And I also don't like the way that people of color have been portrayed in the media. And I was very, very cautious with how I was, or if I was going to approach it. And then, you know, finally, after talking to my sisters and stuff, they're like, just do it. You know, I think you'll enjoy it. Put yourself out there and you never know what can happen. And that's pretty much the ride that got me to the Bachelorette.
Okay. I just want to stop for a second and tell you guys about this really like revolutionary, really exciting thing that can change your life if you get migraines. And I'm very passionate about this because I have very close, dear friends of mine. I have three friends. None of them
Lauren
know.
Lauren, two.
No. Oh, four. Four really close friends that suffer from migraines. And it's like a whole thing. Like some of them can't even take birth control pills because the blue dye in the pill like can trigger a migraine. I have another friend who literally when she would get a migraine, one time she got one driving and she goes blind when she gets them. So it's very,
so Lauren.
It's very scary. It's life threatening. You know, thank God.
It's not, well.
Well, it can.
It's only life threatening behind the wheel. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Like it can be life threatening. And anyways, just, I say this all to say, I want to tell you guys about Cove because the doctors at Cove, they only treat migraines. So right now it's the leading online migraine clinic. They specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of migraines from the comfort of your own home. So with only one specialist per 80,000 migraine sufferers in the United States, Cove makes quality care accessible and affordable. And if you go with cove.com and you complete their online consultation, which by the way is designed by leading neurologists, it's as thorough as an in-person doctor visit. I'm telling you guys, if you get migraines, this will change your life. And with Cove, you can have more migraine-free days. Best part is that they're affordable. So their doctor fees and prescriptions are as little and less as most insurance co-pays. Like their prescriptions start at just like $10 a month.
Mm-hmm. And there's a licensed doctor that's going to review your migraine history and recommend a treatment plan customized specifically to your needs. And the prescriptions will be delivered to your door. No more waiting for a doctor's appointment, pharmacy lines, and you get specialized care to help you better control your migraines. And like Nat says, it's affordable. And you guys can have more migraine-free days. The doctors at Cove have treated 2.4 million migraine attacks and counting. So you can read all those reviews. They're amazing reviews. 96% of patients give the doctors and their care 5 stars. So you can go to withcove.com/get it for 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping.
Guys, that's 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping at withcove.com/get it. So that is spelled withcove.com/get it. withcove.com/get it.
So Claire wasn't announced until, you know, I feel like March. So was it you guys being in the hotel already when you found out who the Bachelorette was going to be?
No. So they announced it on GMA before we left.
Okay.
For the show. So I knew, I think it was like February 28th or something like that.
But like really close, like closer than most guys have to deal
with. Yeah. It was really, really close. And so knew that. And I think it was less than a week later that we finally flew out. And it was really weird because obviously we're sitting in the hotel and then the whole pandemic is starting to really break out.
Right.
And I remember going to the airport and it was my first time really paying a lot of attention to it. And the Uber driver just smelled like straight Clorox bleach, you know?
Oh my God.
And it hadn't caught on everywhere else. And it wasn't even really mainstream media at the time. And then we flew in and we're prepping for the show. And that's when you see like the NBA cancel their games. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that and producers and everyone are like, you know, just hang tight. We're going to do everything we can. We're just monitoring the situation. Mm-hmm. But I knew as soon as they canceled that NBA game, I was like, there's no way in hell that we're going on and we're filming this show. So they actually cut it the night before we were going to do limo entrances.
Right.
And I flew back to South Dakota. I couldn't even fly back to New York. So I was back there.
Wow.
All the way till mid-June.
But you probably enjoyed that.
Were you staying with family?
Yeah, so I was staying with my sister, Robin, and I loved it. Right away, though, it was hard because no one knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And I was almost getting FOMO, and a lot of people have said this. I felt like I should be in the trenches in New York in the early stages because I'm talking to my friends on the phone and, you know, they're saying how bad it is and you're hearing ambulances over and over again. Wow. But I almost felt guilt because I felt like, you know, that was my city and that was my home.
Oh, you're such a New Yorker. It was New York had such a storyline over COVID, and not to change, but it was like, you know, Seinfeld, Jerry came out with that article. Ashley, did you see that? Where he was so mad. Everyone was saying New York is dead, you know, and he was like, you're not a real New Yorker and the city will come back.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I guess it's funny. Like Ashley and I don't live in New York, but you're proving that it's a real thing. People felt guilty, like not being there and just sticking it out.
I'd be like fresh South Dakota air.
I know. I'd be like, oh my God, air. 200 people at high school. Yeah. Like, I'm so safe here.
It was amazing though. It took me a couple weeks to settle in, but that's the most time I've spent with my family since high school. So in hindsight, it was amazing. And my sister wasn't able to work. My dad wasn't able to work. You know, so it was just great that we could be there. And again, I love where I grew up. I love everything about it, and it was like, it didn't exist in South Dakota. So I was very blessed, I'll say that, or fortunate to a degree until we went into filming. You didn't see any spikes or anything there. So I left right when some of that stuff started happening. And then I was in a bubble.
How mentally, like Ashley and I work in this industry, and I sort of feel this way where people don't realize the hurry up and wait, like get ready and wait, for me is very mentally exhausting. It's very much a part of my job. And for someone with anxiety, like, I'm like, I just want to get this out. I have it memorized. Like I want to do the thing. Did you feel that way when you were like literally about to meet Claire the next day?
Yeah, did you and have you had cold to feet? Wait?
Like, how mentally exhausting was that? And what was going through your mind while you're in South Dakota? Did you second guess going back to the show? Like, what were you feeling during that time?
So I was mentally prepared and to obviously fully go on the show. And I would say the great thing is, you know who the lead is, and you can prepare yourself mentally and emotionally for that. But I remember in June, I flew back to New York to shoot a project. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do this filming. Like I was, you know, pre-show, you know, we talk about like these 3 to 5 year plans. There were so many good things happening that I'd worked so hard for. And I think it was just that little bit of moment in doubt. And I went back and saw the city and I got a little nervous because I was like, what's going to happen? How are things going to change? I just felt like I didn't know if I was willing to put everything else on hold that much longer, especially in the midst of everything that was going on in the pandemic. And they didn't even know if the show was going to go. It wasn't until I think like June 25th, maybe a little bit earlier, where they're finally like, okay, we got the green light. Because productions couldn't even go back into shooting. And I think the show narrowly missed, like they just got approved. And then other shows were getting turned down right after that because spikes were going on. Wow. So there was definitely a moment where I didn't know if I was going to go back. But I actually had a conversation with my dad and he's like, I asked him, you know, what do you think I should do? If this goes, do you think Claire and I will connect? And he's like, you know, your spirits and your souls are already aligned and united if it's meant to be. So he's like, I say you just go do it, you know, and put your heart out there. You've been preparing for this. And then after that conversation with him, I was fully in. And then was just...
I'm sorry. It's just like to cut you. It's like, it really, when you think about like, when I think about Ashley and Jared's evolution of like everything that had to happen for them to end up together. And I'm always fascinated by this with like anyone's story. That's why I love hearing about how people meet. And Ashley had like her own show, like actually asking people Harry Met Sally, like style, how people met, because it's so insane. But when you think about like the trajectory and like so many things that got in the way of you and Claire being together, it is astounding. Yeah. Like there was a global pandemic. Like you almost didn't do it. Like your friend nominates you, you almost don't do it. Then you go, then there's a pandemic. Then there's another chance for you to back out. Then you go. Then Claire, like historically, recordly, is the first bachelorette to just like leave because she's like, it's just you. Can you talk about that sort of first human IRL interaction with her and like what that felt like, because to people watching, I think it's like, whoa, like she's gonna, you know, obviously everyone was like, whoa, she's just gonna leave, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, see, and I don't know. And I hadn't seen any of the other conversations. It wasn't until the show premiered where I actually saw, you know, her reaction with me coming out of the limo. And I'm someone who I feel really calm for the most part. But I was so fucking nervous. I remember walking up and, you know, I'm getting situated and I felt fine. And then once we actually are face to face, it's like, it goes blank. But the feelings and the emotions were so real. And that's something that I hadn't felt in a long time. I was in a very serious relationship before that. You know, which was a great relationship at the time. We just were at different phases in our lives. And I think anytime you go through something like that, with anything in life that your heart's in, it takes a piece, if you lose that, or if you go in a different direction, it definitely takes a piece of you. And I'm someone who tends to just bury things. And I think that's like how I've come up, and I felt like I've had to over years. A lot of men do that. But Claire really brought a lot out of me, that emotions and feelings that I hadn't felt in a long, long time, or I didn't even know if I have ever felt it in that capacity. And as we got to spend more time together on the show, I just felt more and more calm, and not a sense of like confidence or arrogance. I just felt at ease. I felt I was in the right spot. Our conversations were smooth, but you know, she has the capacity and the ability to love deeper than and stronger than anyone I've ever met. And while there's so many things that, you know, are portrayed on TV and that people see, or with edits and all those things, if her heart is in it, like her heart is all the way in it. And there's no mistaking that. And I really appreciated that, because I feel like for me, that's how I am with the people in my life. Mm-hmm. There's no in between. But it was a ride. I mean, I remember when they said, oh, you know, it's finally like she's going to leave the show. That's a wrap. You know, this is the end of the show. And I was like, you know, you don't even know what to do. Our first date, I remember when there was like a pause, you know, a group date thing, like, and it was awkward on TV, but no one knew what to do. That's our first time in anything like that. So then it's like, all right, we're done. What's next?
Yeah.
I remember when Chris came and talked to me, but even then I felt calm. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it was in my heart, in my mind, it was always going to be her and I.
Wow.
At the end of it. So it's a unique story for sure.
So cool.
Yeah. And I mean, as soon as we were done, I mean, there's still so much stuff circulating. We're over a year out now. And I think about how heavy we've had to build this relationship in front of the media, but it's been pretty much on front and center since last August, even July before we even knew it, because of the filming.
And that's not easy to do.
All right. If you are looking for a therapist, you feel like you need some help, we have the people for you. It's BetterHelp. And you guys, if you're a listener of this podcast, you've heard it a lot of times, and that's because we love them. And we believe that you guys love them too. So BetterHelp is going to assist your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You could start talking with them in under 24 hours. It's not self-help. It's actual professional counseling. And you can send a message to your counselor at any time.
What I love about BetterHelp is I think it's just, you know, as we move into this world of like health, wellness is, or mental health is just as important as like physical health. I think a lot of people are paying more attention to their thoughts and are being more aware of like how anxiety and depression and all these things, self-esteem issues, like come in the way of you just literally living your best life. Like, you know, as Kourtney Kardashian says, like, I'm just living life. We all are just out here wanting to live life. And sometimes it's really hard to do when all these things like relationships, sleeping, trauma get in the way. So if you guys want to start feeling better and reach out to counseling, the service is available for clients worldwide. Everything you share is confidential. It's convenient. It's professional. My favorite part about it is that it's affordable. Also, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So We all want you to start living a happier life today. So as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/get it.
Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that is BetterHelp, HELP.com/get it.
Naz and I always kind of like, we're the kind of breed of woman who like, we can't really hide it. We're just like, oh, I love you. It's like, like I have so many feelings and I can't play it cool. And yeah. I find Claire to be like so endearing and relatable in that way. Mm-hmm. Had you ever been with a woman like that before? And like, was that a quality that you liked or was that intense at first?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Because we feel like guys don't like that. I think that's sort of the society stigma, right?
Society.
Like, to be the cool girl, to yeah. act like yeah. you don't care.
I mean, I think anyone, obviously they got to be themselves. For me, the fact that we were on camera and stuff, like I'm very reserved. I'm someone who, as much as I you know, share things socially, I'm actually very private with my personal life. And I think just being around sisters and stuff, mm-hmm. I'll be overly cautious more than anything. So it was a lot, I would say right away. Especially the fact that you're on cameras. Keep in mind, I had never watched the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had no concept of it at all, right?
I truly had no concept of the show at all. And I didn't watch, a lot purposely before because I didn't want to go in there with a preconceived notion. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go in there. You know, everyone has positive things to say. Some people have horror stories. Mm-hmm. I kind of went in there blind, but that's the way, you know, I intended to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a lot, you know, the first few days and the first times we spent together, but then after that, it was like, all right, hey, I'm here, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you, you know, whatever you need and vice versa. So,
yeah.
I think I appreciated it for sure. And that's the thing, you know, she pulled a lot out of me that was probably uncommon. But those are things I need. And also just as a man, I mean, it was never anything that was too much for me to handle. Mm-hmm. I think it's just with anything you're learning and meeting someone and it's a relationship that you're building backwards. So it's just an adjustment.
I love that you were able to share with us that she pulled a lot out of you that you had never felt before. And obviously there's like the obvious things you guys have in common, like losing someone really close to you. But the reason why I love that you shared that is because I think you're right. Like the way editing and media and just judgments go around, like I'm going to call myself out a little bit. Cause I remember you didn't even reach out to me, and you and I have been friends from afar, you know, like for a while, mm-hmm. like just following each other on Instagram over the years. But I remember so many people I would talk to so many people and be like, oh, I know that guy. And I think like the judgment I sort of surrounded around you was, I think the girl that you were dating at the time I met you was like an athlete, you know? And so I think it's easy to think like, it's like, oh, does this guy really want to go on and like be in a relationship? You know, it's like people think all these things, but they don't know you. They don't like know your story. They don't hear, and they can't see that connection that you like so eloquently put into words that you had with her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you feel like people perceive you in that way? Do you think people think you're like, because it's like even me as someone who's like met you,
yep.
but I think that of everyone that goes on the show now because of Instagram, I think also from a producer yep. standpoint, right? I'm always like, okay, why is this person, what's their energetic motivation behind going, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I that's completely understandable. I mean, I've battled that my entire life, whether it was just because of being an athlete, you know, just different things with like friends, relationships, career, whatever the case.
But, and you're like a good looking, you know what I mean? It's like you have all these things that people create judgments around.
I kind of wanted to build on that. Okay. So basically he has the looks and the personality of somebody who can like be a player. But when I say your personality, it's because like you are so calm and like suave, but you come across like the perfect gentleman, which is why I want to know like how your sisters probably help shape that, where you're like, yeah. I can't help the fact that I'm good looking and nice.
Yeah, and have perfect teeth.
And it's like, have gentlemanly qualities.
Right. It's nonsensical to think that people wouldn't think that you could be a great bachelor, if that makes sense, right? I think the same happened with, and I know you haven't watched the show, with when Jordan went on JoJo season, right? I think a lot of people are like, oh, this guy wants to be the bachelor. And it's like no fault to you that you were blessed with these genes and like athletic ability and and good smile and like, and can express your emotions, which is also hard for to find in a lot of men that are good looking, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've
it is. I've tried.
I understand those things come in to play. You know, my parents, if anything, shaped and instilled that into all of us. You know, at the number one thing was always respect. I mean, I just remember as kids, you know, my dad would always say, you know, you're no better than any other person. We were taught to be servant leaders in anything that we did. And at the end of the day, like, you know, your respect and your name is really all that you have. So I think, and it was tough because everyone's going to say something like the internet's undefeated. Everyone's going to think mm-hmm. and say whatever they want. But I've definitely learned at a young age, just of how I was growing up. If I listened to everything that people said about me or my family, mm-hmm. You know, it would consume me even after the fact. And then you talk about the show. There's so many things that get circulated and even to now, like with Claire and I's relationship, you know, people will focus on one thing versus the bigger picture. And I think the show, what it actually does, it's, you think of fantasy sports, but everyone chooses a side. You know, everyone will choose a side in it. And at the end of the day, you can't win those battles. And it's not our job to try to explain everything to everyone. So the best thing I can do, and this is all I've been able to do throughout my whole life, is just be me. And, you know, in life, you make mistakes. And, you know, you can do everything right and people will still jump all over you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm happy. I'm good. And I can go to sleep at night each and every day just comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Amazing. So mm-hmm. proud of you. That's so great. Cause I feel like you did have a sort of media storm around that. And I'm sure even people in your life, you know, it's like people just judge as humans. It's like human nature, I think.
Yeah. And I think like that's one thing. And I've talked to, you know, a lot of the guys on the show and we're so close and they've helped me through so many things. Cause these are the people that, you know, really spend a lot of time around you, but then also your tribe and your, the people who love and care about you. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, they can see through so many of the things, but I will say, I say this over and over, I wouldn't change anything for the world. And I'm happy that I've learned and experienced some of these things. You know, early on, but also it's tough with the relationship because it's amazing. I was talking to Mark Groves, who's a good friend, and he was saying, it's amazing how many people put their hopes and dreams in the success of your relationship.
Wait, Mark Groves?
Yeah. Yeah. Mark
Groves. Does he create the love?
Yep.
Oh
yep.
My God. Incredible Instagram account. Everybody yeah. should follow. I'm obsessed with him. I didn't know you're friends with him. That's so cool.
Yeah. He's a good dude, but also he definitely provided some advice for me. Claire and I both follow him and, you know, take things, here and there, mm-hmm. but the best thing that we did, I think overall, and we personally don't dive into the relationship too heavily. We've decided to keep more of our stuff private and, you know, respect that. But, I think the best thing that we've done is literally we've just focused on one another. So whatever has happened, you know, in the downtime, what people don't see, those things are for us to know and to continue to build. And I, you know, Ash, you could attest to this, being in a public relationship, it's very important to really just keep those certain things for yourself and, try to build that foundation as strong as possible. And then, you know, from there, everything else will handle itself.
Especially in the beginning, like, yeah. That was where Jared and I were so misunderstood, is because there was so much going on off camera. And then you get to see little snippets on TV and people like create these huge judgments and you're like, no, you know nothing.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Anyway, okay, well, we want to talk a little bit more about you. I definitely want to talk about like what you're doing like for good, because you are involved with the Special Olympics because of your sister who has special needs. And the Special Olympics just went, wasn't it just go down in Tokyo?
So they're actually, with the pandemic, shifted a lot of the World Games. So actually this winter, 2022, we're going to Russia for the Special Olympics Winter Games.
Whoa, you're going to go?
Yeah. That's, I mean, as long wild. As I'm able to. So I've been a global ambassador since 2015.
That's amazing.
My sister was a Special Olympics athlete growing up, and I got involved on the global scale. Yeah, 2015, beyond just the local side. And it's been the most life-changing and powerful thing I've ever experienced. Actually, the first games I went to, the World Games, was in LA at the time. And they brought in 7,000 athletes from 150 countries. So it's the second biggest sporting event aside from the Olympics.
In the
world. Yeah.
Wow. Which were cool. What did your sister play?
She did wheelchair basketball and, you know, some of the like track and field throws. And this was back in South Dakota, you know, at a young age. But I just naturally was always around it. Also with their unified sports and unified schools programs, it affects so many students, but also really helps grow communities. And that is something that, you know, I'll be involved with till the day I die. And it's been really amazing, the people that I've met, the stories that I've heard. And, you know, as I continue to, you know, get older and more involved, I want to bring as much to the table for that as possible, especially coming out of the pandemic. So I'm excited about it. I don't know what's going to happen as far as if I'll be in Russia or not, but
Which sister is this, Robin? Or which
This is my sister Amber. So she's Amber. 5 years older than me. Yeah. Okay. So sometimes you'll see her on the gram. But
can you tell us more about Amber and her journey in the Olympics?
So she was involved again at the local level. But my sister Amber, like at 5 years old, she just had the flu or had the cold, and woke up the next morning and she could never walk again. And, you know, you think about perspective and how that really shapes you. And, you know, I see pictures of her before she started getting sick. And I mean, she's beautiful now, but she was fucking gorgeous, you know, streaked hair. And I remember, you know, I was so young when all this happened. All I've known is Amber, you know, post sickness. And she's been the most amazing and best spirit ever. And what happens is, like, when she gets sick, her white blood cells attack her nervous system. And, you know, over the course of the years that, has progressed, but, when I say that she was definitely a foundational piece and really held it together for me and my other sister, she was the rock. When I started kindergarten, I was reading at a fifth grade level because every day after school for years, she would just teach me everything that she learned every single day. And she's the one who, I guess we can't get child services called on us now, but we couldn't even afford a babysitter. So like, it was like me, Amber and Robin.
No, did any, my parents left my brother and I alone, like literally when I was like seven, I was like, this is not, or like even younger.
Yeah. So but we were just always together. And even to this day, like, I mean, texts over and over and over again every night, Amber and I talk. But that's how our entire family is. And I think anything, and this is true with everyone in our family, if we're doing something in life, there's a reason or a story behind it. And it's usually tied to one another. Like the Special Olympics is for, you know, my sister Amber, and, you know, all the things that, and how our community helped and supported us growing up. And that was a really big part of it, you know? Right. My sister, she was always driven to get into real estate, which she's starting to have some great success now because my family never owned a home. So she bought it for home.
That's so cool. Congrats. Yeah, so
there's always a purpose behind different things. But that's, you know, Amber, she's one of a kind. You'll see her on the gram or something like that. And my goal is next time we have a big event in the U.S., I want to make sure that she's at one of the big games here in the United States. So once we get through the pandemic, you know, we'll definitely do that.
Was her diagnosis?
An autoimmune disease. I can't even think of the name of it right now. When she was diagnosed, there was only 8 cases of it in the entire world. So it was crazy. Yeah. And, you know, over the course of the years, and when we were young, you know, she had to have like brain surgery for tumors. You talk about hospitals. Like, I feel like we lived in a hospital, you know, up through middle school, just with things that would go on with her periodically. But again, we had great support system, the community I grew up in. You talk about how much they rallied around our family and helped support us over a period of time. And that's, again, those are things that you don't get in a lot of places. And we were so fortunate to grow up. And that's why I have so much love and pride for where I grew up in my home state.
And whenever I feel like I'm surrounded by people who aren't either able-bodied or have some type of disability, it just reminds me of the resilience of like the human spirit. And there's so much to learn. And I love, like, now slowly we're getting more representation, you know, for people who are deaf. Like, I watched this film called Sound of Metal last year and I realized, like, oh, I'm the one that's disabled. Like, I can't speak sign language. Like, that's a way that I can't communicate with people. And like, these things aren't disabilities in any way. What's like, what have you taken away by having Amber as a sister? Like, what has she taught you through her lens and experience about life?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, life's not as bad as we often make it out to be. And it's amazing how much just like kindness and consistency and, you know, laughing can completely change your life because, you know, everyone that knows Amber knows her to a T, and she's truly, you're never going to see her unhappy, disappointed. She never forgets. It's like the small things that really make a big difference. And then also just as I've gotten older, and I'll say even with the Special Olympics organization, I've really realized how these inclusive communities, how they completely change whatever town or city that they're in. You know, I focus a lot on the Unified Sports Program. Mm-hmm. Unified Schools Program is actually one of the top training programs for healthcare practitioners and nurses to make sure that they're actually, I mean, they're farther along because they know how to treat people with intellectual and physical disabilities. Mm-hmm. Whereas most people come out of college and have never seen a patient like that. And a lot of the testing that they do on these athletes for the World Games and the treatments, they get carried over and transferred into professional sports because there's so much attention to detail and care that has to be taken. Right. And these are usually some of the top, you know, healthcare professionals in their field have all gone through or worked with Special Olympics at some time.
I love that. It's amazing. And that means a lot to me that you that they include intellectual disabilities, because my brother has learning disabilities. And I feel like sometimes when it's not like physical, I've said this before, it can sort of fly under the radar and there's like people out there that need help. So that's so cool. So that's what's next for Amber. Where are you sort of in your life trajectory? Not that you are your career or anything, but, and we know you want to be like a director, but what, is there anything exciting?
And a dad.
And a dad. Like what?
A zaddy.
A zaddy. Are you, yeah, like what's next? Are you guys thinking about having a family like soonish? Is that just sort of like in the somewhat near future?
Yeah, I mean, everything, you know, again, with us right now, we're just, we're focused on just building the strongest relationship as we possibly can. And obviously the goal and everything in mind, even stepping into it, which, you know, I think a lot of people may feel different when they go on a show like this, but the goal is to build a life, build a family, you know, have a marriage. But the best thing that, again, that we've done is just we're focusing on each other and building as strong of a foundation as possible. You know, in life beyond that, I feel like, you know, now that things are opening up, it's been really exciting. You know, I'm starting to host a lot more events, which has always been a really big focus of mine. And getting back to creating, it was tough because everything went virtual and digital, which also last year I was filming a show. But before I was doing a lot more in hosting, was doing things during Super Bowl and all those things. But again, I just want to continue as a storyteller. I really admire a lot of figures. And I've been, you know, people are like, oh, you're just doing this for fame or this or that.
And it's like, no, you've always,
My life is, I've had a life well before the show and not a lot of things have changed. I'm just still on that path. You know, I want to definitely get more involved. The goal is to eventually do documentaries. You know,
like 30 for 30.
So powerful.
Special Olympics, so powerful. 30 for 30.
They're so powerful. But that's the focus. I want to continue to build in front of the lens as a host in sports and entertainment and continually just try to get involved with more projects behind the lens and help other people share their stories. That's the biggest thing.
So as we kind of wrap up here, we want to do some fun questions, some would you rather, some I don't get it.
Ashley, you had an I don't get it, right?
I do. But I want to get to the I don't get it after we ask this very critical question that Naz once asked a guy that she was dating in the car. So she
fucking lame.
Felt really awkward. There's a silence. She wanted to fill it. And randomly she asked, what's your favorite donut? And she felt so embarrassed, but I was like, that can tell so much about somebody. And it's really because of how they answer it, like the passion that they deliver it with. So one of our followers asked that question for you.
Yeah. Which is hilarious. Can I just say, cause I don't even eat donuts. So it's so funny. But yes. Yeah. What do you have a favorite donut? Do you even eat donuts?
I love a Cronut. Does that work?
Yeah. That's so New York of you. Cause that's, I think, where the Cronut was born. So that is very emblematic of who you are.
Late nights in New York going to, I think it's called the Donut Pub. I've tried a little bit of all of them, but that, and I'm not going to lie, I love a fresh Krispy Kreme donut. Yeah. Right when they're made
off the conveyor belt, just like melting in your mouth.
It's cracked. And they're springing up now. I thought they'd like, I don't know. I thought they were like bankrupt or something.
They're like not though.
I know. They're like always at Albertsons. They're killing it still.
I think that there was just a time
when that red light's on. You got to go check it out.
That's so funny. Yeah. So this podcast also is just like a major fast food connoisseur sort of like space. Do you indulge or are you just like super clean with your eating? Like what's your like guilty sort of like, I'm going in today?
I don't make food my enemy. Honestly, I used to do it. I think, when I was transitioning out of sports and I was modeling with Wilhelmina at the time, I remember that like, I went through this phase where I felt like I had to fit this mold, like just like women, you know, men deal with it all the time too. Mm-hmm. And I just got to a point, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, if I'm going to enjoy myself, I'm going to enjoy myself. But there's nothing better to me than just like authentic street tacos, mm-hmm. through and through.
You gotta move to LA then.
I know, they're everywhere. The place I used to live in LA had the best food truck right on the corner. I used to go there every day almost. But and then hot wings. I'm a huge Buffalo hot wing fanatic. And there, it's hard to find really, really good ones.
So not if Florida's like a chicken wing state. Like, I feel like when I left Florida, like people, like now I just eat wings on Super Bowl Sunday. But I'm like, and I think this way about Thanksgiving food.
I think
food.
It's
like,
an East Coast thing.
I'm like, this. Maybe you're right, Ash, because obviously you're like Northeast. But like Thanksgiving food, I'm like, why don't we eat this more times throughout the year? Chicken wings, why don't I eat it more? And like, I loved how in Florida, my mom was like, we're getting wings and curly fries. Like that was like a thing my mom on like the weekends.
They're so good. But I eat a little bit of everything. I love food. I'm an avid foodie. Obviously, I'm mindful of my health and wellness. I actually went back to school. I'm in the process right now of getting my health coaching certification.
No way. Congrats. It's so cool.
Yeah. And I honestly, the reason I did that, it's more on the holistic side. But I think this year I realized how much I was missing with community, but also anchors that kept me grounded in my spirituality, in my mindfulness and everything. So I made a commitment just to really go back. So I'm a quarter of the way done. It's a 6-month program, which I'm loving it. But yeah, I mean, life is, you know, it's an entire, like when they say total body approach, like mind, body, spirit, everything. So
I just want to like make a quick note about something you said. I love that you said, I don't make food my enemy. Cause I think the energetic space that you bring behind a motivation is very important. Like I think when we think of like losing weight, a lot of people want to lose weight because maybe deep down they just think that they need to look skinny sort of to be accepted. And I was very cognizant of like, I just want to eat healthy and lose weight to feel great, not because I need to look a certain way so that guys like me and just approaching it in that way with the energy behind it. I'm doing this to feel great, not to be accepted, I think is like huge. So I love that you said like, you're sort of in that holistic space and mind, body,
that's
food all connects.
That's the number one thing. It's just about being feel. At the end of the day, it's all about just health and happiness, and no one can define that but yourself. So, that's the best approach.
Did you ever have any embarrassing or awkward moments while modeling?
Oh my god, that's such a good question. Like, how do you even have a model face? I like look like I'm taking a shit.
So I got into it. I was doing a lot of sports, working with top fitness brands and things like that. But I've definitely had an embarrassing moment. I got booked for a project and I thought I was going to like some Broadway thing. And they're like, oh, there are going to be costumes and everything there. This, don't worry, this will just be internal or whatever.
Like, the Party City costumes that have haunted you.
This is so mean, girlsy.
Yo, I'm 2 hours away. I roll into this place and I walk in. I'm like, where the fuck am I right now? And then I start seeing some of the costumes. And I'm someone who doesn't, like, I don't dress up for Halloween. And I was like, oh God, what do I do? I remember calling my agent. I was like, this is not what you said it was going to be. Yada, yada, yada. And he's like, just knock it out. You don't got to do it ever again. And I mean, yeah, that's how the whole Party City thing came. And I remember after it just thinking like, I hope this just never sees the light of day. And you know, it's
wait, guys, I don't know what you're talking about. Were you in like some viral Party City thing that I'm
once he like hit,
This was viral, but I just learned to laugh about it. I mean, if that's the worst thing,
Can you tell me and other people who don't know what happened?
Oh, it's like the thing that went viral was like a Superman outfit, a Dale Taco, and then
a Dale Taco,
like a warrior, like a gladiator.
Wait, I have to Google this right now.
I think Chris Harrison actually wore it for Halloween last year. I felt like he was
Dale Moss, Party City. Oh my God, Dale, this is iconic. How did I miss just this?
So ironic.
This is on TMZ. Bachelorette contestant Dale Moss models Halloween God.
I know, but I don't know. But you just got to learn and to lean in and laugh at it. I mean, I never thought I'd see the light of day. It did. I mean, I got some racks off it, which is not the full motivation. But after that, I said, never again am I doing that. But it's funny at the end of the day, like, hey, who cares? But that was the most embarrassing moment. And that came well after the fact. I think that was 4 years ago, over 4 years ago.
Wow. All right. Wow. Well, let's wrap this up with the few I don't get it. Okay. So mine this week is I don't think I get self-checkout at the grocery store because no one is good at it. And the line is always like, you're like, oh, okay, self-checkout. Like, those people have 5 items. I'll get right behind them. And then you have to call the checkout, you know, the person who's monitoring. There's like always a checkout
you
person.
You always need their
monitoring.
Help.
And then they always, yeah, need to come over. And here I am thinking like, oh, the guy in front of me, he was like, must have been like 60. He was going really slow on it. Just like, and I'm like, okay, I'm a hit millennial. I'm going to be able to like rip through this so that the people behind me don't get too annoyed at the fact that they've chosen a horrible line. And then I get up there. And the woman had to come up and like scan her little thingy 4 times because it was just like, you know how it says like put your item in like on like the scale thing so that like it knows that you checked something
that you
out.
Checked it out. Right?
I had something as light as like Crystal Light, okay, and it didn't register. So every time I put something that light down, it was like needs to see cashier. And I'm like, oh my god, this just should not exist if we don't have the technology to make it efficient.
Yeah. It's a whole thing, that self-checkout, man.
I'll never look at self-checkout the same again.
I hate self-checkout.
I never do it because I
like
always
to support humans. and so, but then when those lines are long, I'm like, ugh, fine, I'll do self-checkout.
No, the human line, no matter what, almost always is short. It's faster.
Not in LA. It's the lines.
Because everybody's
are
so young
so
there,
long.
Naz.
Oh, is that? Oh, that makes sense.
That tracks. Yeah, I guess I should go back to Florida. I wonder if Publix.
Oh my God, in Florida, you die at the self-checkout line.
I wonder if Publix even has self-checkout.
Oh, Publix goes hard. I love Publix.
Oh my God.
Publix.
Can we just, the gummy bears, the pub subs. Like, I miss Publix
the subs
every
and
goddamn
chips.
Day. The wet chips.
I spend a lot of time in Florida in like Sarasota area, and yeah. I love Publix.
Oh my God. And the chicken, the fried chicken at Publix.
Mm. All the things.
Chef's
all the
kiss.
Things.
All right. What other questions we got here? We have some other stuff for you.
Do you have an I don't get it?
Oh yeah. I don't. I was actually looking because I had like a whole list last week
down.
And I think I went through 20. And so I don't have one right now that I can think of. Do you have one, Dale?
I think so. I was just thinking about this because I was craving In-N-Out Burger, but I don't get
In-N-Out. So
I don't get how they cannot figure out a system to keep these lines from being around the block. I know people come, but I know they've got people out there working, but can they put in 2 drive-up windows or something?
They
like
have,
that?
They, so
they
in
sometimes
LA,
do.
There are ones really? With 2 drive-up windows, but you know what I like about the line is it makes me feel like what's being made back there is fresh and not like,
oh,
and not pop in the microwave. Like, you know, like I used to do a Dunkin'.
I mean, I still wait there all the time.
I mean, yeah, so, I'll wait. You know. Wait, what's your order at In-N-Out?
I do the protein style.
God.
No, you
what happened to letting
double,
yourself live?
Double protein. How do you even hold the patties like within the slippery lettuce? That just seems like a gravitational challenge.
So I get a double protein style, and then I get a double regular with the hot peppers on. So
okay.
It kind of defeats the purpose. I don't feel as guilty. So
I love those.
That's a guilty pleasure for me too. There we go.
I love it. Well, Dale, this has been so much fun. Thank you for your I don't get it. And thank you for your honesty, vulnerability, for coming on and talking to Ashley and I. Your time. So we are so happy for you and Claire. Like as someone, I mean, I can't speak for Ashley, but like as someone who worked on a couple shows that Claire was on, like to just know that
you
guys are together, you know, and like so happy and like this journey, like so many people relate to Claire. I think Ashley and I really do too, because you know, sometimes we're just getting up there in age and haven't found our person, and like just knowing you and being lucky to have like met you, warms our hearts that you guys are together and like happy, and it's so cool. So thanks for talking to us about it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I was excited to get on. We haven't done a lot of interviews, separately, like even separately or together. So, it was fun to just get on and riff with y'all, and I appreciate you thinking about me.
Yeah, of course,
Dale.
Where can people find you, Dale?
You can find me on Instagram at DaleMoss13. I'm starting to get my TikTok game going. Be Dale Moss.
Nice.
TikTok. Yes, my alter ego is going
to
come out.
We
got
to do
more.
It too.
Do you dance? Because I feel like that's like a prereq to being on TikTok.
I do some of the dances. I'm not the greatest dancer, but you know, I have fun with it. At the end of the day, like I don't have a problem making a fool of myself and acting like a big ass kid. So I think most, you know, at the very least I can do that. So there's some entertainment over there. And you know, Facebook, I think it's official Dale Moss. I don't use a Facebook that much, but yeah. And then other than that, just check me out on social and then you'll see anything else that pops up.
Amazing. All well, right. Thank you, Dale. Thanks, this was Dale. So much fun. So good seeing you, friend.
Yeah.
Keep killing it.
It's a pleasure. So I'm looking forward to following everything y'all have going on. And again, thank you for having me.
You're so sweet. Bye.
Take care, y'all.
If you want to be the most interesting person at the cocktail party, well, hop on over and listen to the Brain Candy Podcast.
Our award-winning content will have you laughing while you're learning.
We read all the best articles, books, and studies, and keep up with new TV shows, documentaries, and pop culture. And then we cram it all into two shows a week.
Conspiracy theories, cannibal rabbits, unsolved mysteries, the history of the Walkman. There's something for everyone.
The Brain Candy Podcast. Find our link in the show notes.
Or simply search for the Brain Candy Podcast on your podcast app. I don't get it. Podcast.